Ron Wolfley's with us on the media podcast, and you just finished a season with the Cardinals that no color analyst that I've worked with, and I haven't worked with you, but none that I've, when I worked in the NFL with the Chargers and all that, when you go through bad seasons, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
It's because you only have one day of the week, and you got to sit there for the next 6 days and go through all of it, and you know you're going nowhere. So I'm wondering from a preparation standpoint for you this year, because I would hear you and Dave be critical on the air of what was going on, to your credit. Not a lot of broadcasters would go to the lengths that you guys went to say, what is going on here? So I'm wondering, first of all, take us through the process of how you would prep through this season on a weekly basis. What was your prep week like?
Wow. Typically, it's a lot of film on a Monday and a Tuesday.
A lot of film meaning 11 a.m.? Take us through the hours.
No, I do a morning show, of course. So Monday morning, for the most part, I'm working 6 to 10. And, you know, after the show is when I'll go home, try to actually get some research work done on a weekday. Again, it's so difficult to do the morning show and actually be the Arizona Cardinals color analyst during the season. Mm-hmm. You don't have months. It's just day of the week. That's all that matters. It's not December, it is Tuesday, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It's not October, it's Wednesday. And what do I do on Wednesday? It's survive in advance that way. But a lot of the time throughout the week, I look at film, watch film. I'm blessed enough to actually get the end zone shot and the sideline shot from the Cardinals, the coach's cut.
They email this to you.
Yes. Oh, it's unbelievable. What, right? I mean, just mind-blowing for guys like us that grew up where you're writing down notes. Mm. Are you kidding me? The technology. Crunk right now. So I just go ahead, I watch a lot of film and do a little bit of research as well. And so much of the time you're playing either, you know, the Rams or Seattle or, you know, San Francisco. You're playing teams you know. Mm-hmm. So that makes it easier as well. But there's a lot of time and there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. And when they lose, it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. Because for me, I have skin in the game, Brad. I have skin in the game,
right,
man, because I've got 20 hours of broadcasting every morning that I've got to do throughout that week. I got 4 hours. And if the Cardinals win, it just makes it so much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. If they lose, it's not enjoyable. It isn't. I know what it's like. Look, I have a PhD in losing. You know this. Mm-hmm. You saw me playing. Mm-hmm. I have a PhD in losing, man. And it's hard. It's hard. I hate to see it for guys, because I know how that feels.
Okay, so process. A young broadcaster wants to be Ron Wolfley. A current player wants to be Ron Wolfley when their career is over. Your day to be on radio, because I've faced this where players will come to me and say, I want to be on the radio. I it's my career dream.
Radio,
they think they can
awesome.
Just walk. Radio is awesome. But your day starts at 3:30, 4:30. When do you get up?
Yeah, 4 o'clock. Four o'clock in the morning. It used to start at 3 o'clock in the morning when we did 5 to 9.
Yeah.
Because I had to be up a couple hours early. I have to be up a couple hours before I actually hit the air. Of course, all your prep is done, as you know, at night. If you're going to do a morning show, you're up 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You're watching games, and you're up taking notes. That's what I do every night.
Mm-hmm.
Every night I prepare in front of the television, watching whatever game or games are on, watching them and taking notes.
So
preparing
for
the show tomorrow.
So that 4 a.m. call comes in, you wake up, you drive down to the studio. On the way to the studio, you're not a guy that is doing sports on the way to the studio, at least in the past when you and I have talked.
What do you mean, listening?
Yeah.
I never listen.
Yeah. You're into your religion.
Yes.
You're into your faith. You're into your faith.
Faith.
And so on your way to work, you're in spirit mode?
There are times where I will listen to the radio. For the most part, no. I, I'm I'm on my way to work, and typically I recite a bunch of memory verses. I know how nerdy that's going to sound to a lot of people.
But it's a podcast, so they don't see that.
But for me, yeah. I'm just saying, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I sit there and, you know, I'm going to rip off. I believe it's 45 passages. 45 passages, yeah, in the Bible that I get my voice ready to go. And I start reciting them every morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something I do. So I don't listen.
For how many years?
I want to say maybe 7 or 8 of the 10 that I've been doing this.
Because you've prepped the night before, so you got the sports thing down.
Yeah, right.
And so as you're driving in, it's about getting the day off and running. So you're taking care of Ron.
Yeah.
You walk in and your partner, Doug Franz, and your producers and those folks, do you have meetings or do you just sit down, ready, set, go?
You know, it's interesting. We don't talk to each other, Douglas and myself. We don't have these conversations. And it's best that way. Mm-hmm. It's best. It's kept it fresh and alive and organic. And that's really important.
Unscripted.
That's unscripted. Yeah. Very important.
Do not
to
rehearse.
Me.
I totally agree with that.
Yes, Bradley.
Do not rehearse.
You don't want to do that.
I'll say this and you say that. No.
Exactly.
No.
Hey, or even, you know what? Hey, now it's time to be funny.
Yeah, no.
Just knock it off.
No.
Not just let it be organic. Have a conversation and let it just go where it will. And you know what, Bradley? You know this, but radio, corporate radio nowadays, you pay off the tees. Get to the tees. Pay it off. What are you doing? Forget about this dilly-dally. It drives me nuts because I love the organic part of radio. It's what makes radio so awesome. I understand they know what they're talking about. I get it. The suits, they know what they're talking about. But you know what? You can't have it an all the time thing. You just can't.
Data can only take you so far, in my opinion.
The human element
is involved.
Yes, you have to be yourself. You have to be organic. You have to let it go where it will. Sometimes you're going to miss. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not going to be funny. So what? If you're afraid to ever try to, you'll never say anything that will amuse anybody. Mm-hmm. You won't do it. I could bore the living you know what out of you, and you know how to do it as well. You want me to? I'll sit here and I'll bore you to tears. That much, we all could do. That's the easy part. The hard part is to actually entertain somebody.
Sure, it's entertain and inform, but. I'm curious then, so you and Doug sit down, you guys do your show.
Yeah, we it's unscripted.
Show's done at 10, what's the process after that? Pack up your stuff, is there even a see you later, or do you guys just get in the car and go?
It's typically, we'll see you later.
See you tomorrow.
See you later.
So there's no post breakdown or any of that?
Think about it. I have been on the air with Doug Lease for over 10 years now. 10 years, January 2nd, as a matter of fact, was our 10-year anniversary, if that's what you want to call it. I've talked to him on the phone 3 times.
Really?
maybe 3 times, and he'd remember that probably a lot better than I would. But yeah, just we don't communicate. We're two different guys. We got our own opinions on stuff, and that's why it works. We know it. His opinion is not going to be my opinion. Sometimes, rarely, but sometimes we do agree. But the fun is discovering what it's going to be.
Sure.
So why would you ever want to talk about what it is?
You guys had a blow up a few years ago that people made a big deal out of, and I'm just like, that's going to happen in a show. When you're with somebody every day,
yeah.
You're just going to have
Thank
a day
you,
where it's like,
yeah.
I mean, that was nothing. That those things do happen in the course. The process then of take me into this path, color analyst, bad football team, on the radio Monday morning, having to critique players when you're in a locker room or on a plane.
It's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing by
far. How do you
do
that? And how was this year going?
Well, first of all, you tell the truth as you know it. You have to be able to
do that. And as a former player, you have that right.
You have to be able to do that. You have to tell the truth. And I do tell the truth. Now, look, again, I am an optimist mm-hmm. by nature. Mm-hmm. And I will never, you're never going to hear me say, boy, let me tell you, that Carson Palmer, he sucks. You're never going to hear me say that, okay? Because I know how difficult it is to play the game. And especially when you have another human being, another man, that is literally lined up across from you trying to keep you from doing your job. Can you imagine how difficult that would be, Bradley? Imagine any job. I don't care if you're a plumber and you're trying to change out a toilet and there's somebody who's directly opposing you trying to keep you from changing the toilet. You can have a hard time doing that. You're going to have a hard time doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about professional sports. It's difficult. It's hard to do. You've got not only another human being opposing you, trying to keep you from doing your job, but he's a talented, capable human being trying to keep you from. So I have a problem. I can't be overly critical of players because my conscience won't let me do it.
But you're in a position where fans want to hear analysis as a former player.
I'll tell you what the analysis is.
So you'll tell you the analysis.
What I believe it is.
And you also are somebody that, in my opinion, I'm not with you every day, but you will ask a coach or you will ask a player. I don't think everything 100% is just you. Or am I wrong on that?
Let me.
Do you talk to some people about it?
I do from time to time. But Bradley, yeah. I will tell you right now, when you work for a radio station the way that I do,
yeah.
Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM, ding. When you work...
6 to 10 a.m.
When you work for the radio station and you also work for a professional sports team like the Arizona Cardinals, don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. I don't want to know what your point of view really is, Bruce Arians. I don't really want to know, Steve Keim, what your point of view is.
But he comes on with you every Monday morning.
But he comes on every morning, absolutely right.
And you've got to be prepped for that.
But again, I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to know. I don't want to be inside of somebody's head. Because now all of a sudden, their thoughts are your thoughts. And what's on the record and what's not off the or on the record. What's off, suddenly you start living in a world that is cluttered and compound and intense. And people's feelings get hurt when you know their perspective, their point of view, and suddenly you just disagree with them. I disagree with you, Bradley, mm-hmm. on your point of view. But you think I'm attacking you right. when all I'm doing is just disagreeing right. with you. I want my thoughts to be my thoughts.
When you're in a broadcast with Dave Pasch on that end, away from Doug, but when you're on a broadcast with Dave Pasch and Drew Butler shanks another one or Chandler misses a field goal,
yeah.
I could hear in your voice
yeah.
okay, the frustration. And as the season built, another bad punt, another short kick. I mean, it was very obvious to a trained ear that these two, not just Dave, even yourself, is like, what are we doing here? So there's got to be a point where I would think, Ron, that in your preparation during the week or some of the things you would say on the air, that there had to have been some blowback this season.
Blowback. I would say a little bit, Bradley. But, you know, again, it's not my job, I don't think, as a color analyst for the team to give you my opinion on what they ought to do about Drew Butler. I'll tell you exactly, everyone who's on the field, I'll tell you what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And their performance, if that's a bad punt, or that, if you want to sit here and suddenly get my perspective on whether or not they ought to cut Drew Butler, I don't know that. I know coaches know that better than I do, and who cares what it is that I say. Now, if you want to talk about the radio show, where now as I'm no longer the analyst telling you what's going on in the game.
Line.
Now all of a sudden, it's all about the speculation. It's all about mm-hmm. whether or not a Drew Butler should be released.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my least favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, I know how difficult it is. Drew Butler isn't going out there trying to stink. He's not going out there trying to hit 30-yard punts. He's not. And I know what that feels like to go out and try and give all that you have and it not be good enough.
How did you handle Michael Floyd?
Michael Floyd. First of all,
those are the worst, in my opinion.
The worst.
Through, in my opinion, years of broadcast, when we start to get in, and it's a podcast, so you can go on this one, but in my opinion, when it becomes the legal side of things, we have to actually know a little bit of legal to do this. Actually, a little bit more of legal to get to know this. But I've never come across a story where I disdained it as much as Michael Floyd from the standpoint of the video, the numbers, the what he did in the moment with his teammates in the course of the end of a season, and then he's back on a field a week later. I'm looking at that, I'm saying, there's something not right here. And I'm not meaning that vengeful to him.
I know.
I'm not meaning it vengeful to him, but
yeah.
That was one story, Ron, that through the years, I don't know how I would handle that if I'm in a booth. I was the third guy in the booth at one time. And then I had to do a talk show, and that was a very hard line to cross, and you're doing it as well as you can. How did you handle Michael Floyd?
Yeah, that's a great question. Stunned and shocked like everybody else. Such a good guy. It just reminded me. It reminded me of how many players I played with, how many guys that I played with. That I have so much respect for, love in my heart for. I just made some dumb decisions in their life. And Michael Floyd is a good dude, and his teammates love him. And if anyone had an opportunity to get to know him, you know Michael Floyd is a good dude. Just made a really, really bad decision, a dumb decision. And you have to say that, don't you? I mean, You have to. You have to say what is true. It's just a ridiculously bad decision that he made. What the Cardinals did, they had every right to do. And yet, at the same time, I'm glad to see Michael Floyd is working. He's got to do something about it. He's got a problem.
I struggled with that part of it because it is the playoffs as we're taping this podcast. And so the Patriots are in the playoffs. It felt to me as though the last place that he should be. I know people are going to say, no, you're better off at work. I'm sorry, when you blow those type of numbers, you're better off just being in treatment or being out of sight, out of mind. And
yeah.
We'll see you next August and let's just see what will happen from there. I get that some people have to be in their place of work, but anybody that's listening to this, if they did the same thing, you know, they wouldn't be in that place of work.
It just, like you were saying though, it's the most difficult thing probably to do is actually talk about somebody that you have a lot of respect for, somebody that you like, but you have to be able to tell the truth.
Let me switch gears over to Dave Pasch. So you talked about your relationship in the mornings with Doug. When you're with Dave Pasch, what is that relationship like?
Well, and this is no slam on Doug Lease whatsoever, because we have a great working relationship, mm-hmm. I think. But David is one of my best friends. He's one of my best friends.
What makes him your best friend?
We share a faith, mm-hmm. first and foremost. We share a love of football. And probably the fact that I just see him once a week.
so during
once, you know,
that leads to there is no preparation between the two of you. He knows you're going to do your thing. He's going to do his thing.
Absolutely. Okay. There's no preparation whatsoever. So, you know, it's the same thing with Paul Calvisi. Paulie is one of my dear friends. I don't have a lot of great friends. I don't. I have a lot of acquaintances. But, you know, Paul had a front row seat for the dark days, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and David Pasch as well. Just the similarities that we share, the interests that we share, in life makes him as tight to me as he is.
The dark days are something that you and I have talked about, and I think that's, I'd like to talk to you about that another time. I'm curious on game day broadcast. Take the fans through game day preparation. What's it like on game day? You're up at 6 a.m. for
I like to get there as soon as I possibly can.
Yeah.
I like to get over there some 4 hours before the game actually starts for a home game.
And what do you do once you're there?
I walk around. I walk around, basically. I start joeing up, getting the coffee going. Walk around and grab my flip card, start going over some of the names, some of the scenarios, some of the schemes that I expect to see, just mentally starting to put it all together.
You've seen all that through tape during the week. So your preparation, you're prepped.
Absolutely.
To a point, but there's still things to do.
Absolutely.
For a young broadcaster who wants to come in on a NFL broadcast on game day, your 3 hours, 4 hours,
you don't go through. Rash. Don't be rash to make a decision, a determination on another team or another player. Just let it sit. Let it sit, and then on game day, the morning of game days, go ahead and start putting that together. Put that by. I just try to be a sponge.
So don't
try
look at it.
Open it up as much as I can.
Don't look at it and say, this team's record isn't very good on a Monday or Tuesday.
Right, right. Just taking all of the variables, taking the players, taking the schemes, taking the coaches, taking the injury situation with the team, and just let it kind of sit in a big stew. And then when you get up on game day that morning, start becoming dogmatic. Taste the stew, if you will, on game day, and do it only on game day. And I think you'll have a much clearer opinion as to what might transpire.
Do you go down on the field before the game? Some analysts like to go down on the field and visit with players.
Always. Or,
okay.
Always.
And when does that take place? 2 hours, 3 hours? Are you looking at the kickers? Are you looking at the teams, guys? What is it you're looking for when you go down to the field?
Just trying to get a vibe, trying to get a vibe on the sideline, trying to get a vibe for the field conditions. I mean, I at Lambeau, I'll go down to all fours and I'll grab the grass and I'll rip that grass up. I stick it in my pockets. I do, Brian.
That's great.
I go up, stick it in my pockets, and I go up to the broadcast booth. And I just kind of, you know, play with it in my pocket the whole time and move the grass between my fingers.
Is that your favorite place to broadcast from?
Yes, Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field is a magical place.
Doesn't matter if it's a September or a December
doesn't
game?
Matter. Doesn't matter. It's awesome. I just love going up there, you know. Mm-hmm. The birthplace, if you will.
Toughest place to broadcast from? Booth position, fan location?
FedEx Field. FedEx Field, you're down in one of the end zones looking out. Literally wrapped around. You're not even on the sideline. It's not like you're on the goal line. It's not like you're on the five or the. You are wrapped around the corner of it, and very, very difficult for a guy like Dave Pasch to actually call the play without a monitor. And a lot of times they had a bad monitor position too, and that makes it really, really difficult, because as you're calling it live, especially from that angle, as you're calling it live, it's hard to see.
Your chemistry with him is really good. Was it always that way?
Yeah.
Day one?
Can I just say, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think
why does it
was.
Work?
Well, I would like to say that, in all humility, I would like to say that Dave Pasch is just maybe one of the best play-by-play guys I have ever heard, period. And my job is to not step on him.
Hmm.
And I've realized that from the very first time I started working with him. I mean, just to hear David rip it off the way that he does, without missing a beat and without messing up a name. And here's a guy that does college basketball,
right.
College football.
Just gonna get to that.
The NBA. Yeah. Yeah, this guy does so many. And Bradley, you know how difficult that is. where you are, you're doing three or four nights a week where you're completely calling different teams and different levels in college and pro and different names, and he does not screw up a name.
Did he come in off a plane from doing a college game
yes.
on the East Coast
yes.
in the snow, and he walks in hour, 2 hours?
It's happened a couple of times.
Yeah, and the late Tom Dillon was that way. Guys I worked with in San Diego were that way, where you're trying to do multiple events. I was in that space a few times,
yes.
where you're in he
the
never
names.
Misses a beat.
He doesn't.
He never misses a beat.
It's incredible.
And he
man.
Doesn't complain about it either, which
no.
I've...
No.
There are guys that want to say in an indirect way, look at me, I've been to all these places. And
Dave
I'm,
is...
And Dave will never, which is one thing I admire about him, you never hear him say, well, yeah, I was in... You know, it was a long plane flight, or boy, I was able to make it from this place to that place. You never
As I was
that.
Doing the national broadcast
last night for
ESPN,
yeah.
he's an incredible guy. He's an incredible talent. And, you know, my job is to make sure that I don't step on him. And yet he gives me an awful lot of room. And I appreciate that because I need it verbose, as you know.
Do you like TV?
TV doesn't like me, as you know. All right. I have no problem with television.
Analyst work, I should say. Analyst work.
I have no problem doing television, but I much prefer the freedom of radio, of painting pictures, of using terminology and verbiage that creates images. Mm-hmm. That is what I love. I love to write, Bradley. It's what I do. I write. I am a writer at heart. I have stories that I've read. I have all these stories, fiction, of course, fiction. Always fiction. Why would you? I mean, nonfiction is. Don't we get enough of that every night on the news?
Yeah.
Nonfiction. You know, to me, I want to write fiction. That's where the challenge is, and that's where the entertainment value, the creativity, the juices are flowing on that. But I love to write, and that's why radio rules, because you get to talk to people and create images in their mind.
A couple other questions. What do you not like about sports?
I hate the fact that we're getting away from coaches making an impact in young men and women. I hate that.
What do you mean? Explain that.
It used to be where athletics, it was all about what life lessons you could learn from playing the sport. I mean, literally getting knocked down in the game of football. Is there a better analogy that you could use for life than getting knocked down and your coach telling you, get off the ground and do it again. And do it again. And do it again. And do it again. Getting knocked down and yet you get up and you do it again. You know, I don't know if there's a better lesson you could learn for life than that. And coaches make that happen. And I hate the fact that We don't value that anymore. We don't look at a coach and expect you, coach, to help my son, Johnny, or help my daughter become a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that expectation of you anymore when that's all you used to have. That's all you used to do was sit there and say, oh, you know what? I'm going to give you my son for the next 4 years, because I believe in you, coach, that you are going to make him a man and you're going to teach him some lessons. Those 4 years after high school are just critical. And even at the high school level, we don't expect that. We don't demand that out of our coaches the way that they once did.
You're helping coach right now with your little...
20 years ago. Yes, 20 years ago, that was a demand that you were going to help. Hey, listen, it's not just being a football coach or a baseball coach. Not just being, you've got to help these kids.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to help these kids grow up. And coach, that is my expectation for you. Bradley, it's not like that anymore. We don't demand it. Nobody even cares about it anymore, let alone demand it. I hate that.
What do you like most about sports media? I mean, it could be a person or a group or a broadcaster or an event. What do you like most about the sports media side of it? You do a radio show, you're a color analyst, you're one of 32.
Okay, from a selfish perspective,
sure.
While the games are actually being played, I love it. I sit around and we speculate for an entire week on what might happen. And that kind of speculation just makes me want to gouge my eyes out. Then we talk about it for another week. OMD, what did happen? You know, while it's actually going, man, do I cherish those moments while the game is actually being played. Especially if it's a contested, brutal, brutal game. I love that. Because I'm not fat and 54. I'm 24 with 8% body fat. And I am capable.
For those 3 hours.
I will destroy you or destroy myself in the process. If it was so good to tap into that and know that that's just how God created us. We all have that primal side. And if you don't believe me, and I think I've talked to you about this before, try to take a baby from a mother's arms. You want to see somebody get violent? You want to see somebody tap into that primal side that we all have? Try to take a baby from a mother's arms. Hey, bro, hell hath no fury. So I love that part of it, selfishly, when I'm broadcasting. I will say this, the other part that I do enjoy is maybe trying to get people to think. Maybe get them to think outside of the, give me another beer, man, give me another beer. That guy sucks. I can't stand it. You know, maybe just trying to get somebody to think.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge. It really is. But I think there are people out there that are much more susceptible to that today than there was 20 years ago.
Do you have an agent?
No.
Do you ever have an agent?
No. Do I need one, Brad?
Do you need an agent?
Do I need an agent?
And there's people that wonder about us in our industry that if I'm going to go make a lot of money, I have to have an agent that will do it. I have to have, because I don't want to negotiate. I've heard that from a lot of aspirings or even people in our industry, that having to have an agent is something that is a priority. You do not have one.
No.
I've had some, and I've let them go.
Yes.
But I think that for those that are consuming
Bradley,
this podcast.
You know everything you need to know at this point, right?
If there's some things I want to try or things I want to do, are the things that if you said, you know what, I want to go be a national analyst outside of Arizona to see if I can do it. Do you need somebody to open that door for
you? Man's got to know his limitations.
Listen to you.
I'm just saying, look.
You could do the NFL Network.
I honestly.
You know you could.
I honestly don't know that. Don't really care because I'm content, Bradley. I always have been. There are some people that need to rule the world. You ain't looking at one of them. I just don't. I am so thankful and content. Everything that's ever happened to me my whole life, it's just God opening up doors, right, in my whole life. My life, and if the people could actually see and experience what I have seen and experienced, it would blow their mind how true this statement is. My life is imagine a 10 by 10 room, and there's a chair right in the middle of it. And on each wall, there's a door. And I sit in the chair, and I wait for God to open up a door. And I stand up, and I walk through the door, and I sit down in the next chair. And I wait for the next door. And every time I get out of that chair and try to open the door myself, blows up in my face. Destroy it. Every time I just sit there patiently and let God do what he will in my life. It's perfect.
Those are the dark days.
The dark days, that's where I got up and I started trying to open that door. And if that door wasn't going to open, I was going to go through that door. And
that's a conversation for another day.
That is a deep conversation for another day. Thank you. God bless you, Brad.
And with that, Ron Wolfley on the Arizona Media Podcast.